Welcome to the special extended episode 5 of Internosis, the key that unlocks the door to infinity. In this show, end times, new beginnings, and what really matters. All this and more when Internosis continues. The mark of your ignorance is the depth of your belief in injustice and tragedy. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls the butterfly. Richard Bach. The first thing I want to make clear with such a controversial subject this episode is I don't claim to know exactly what the Book of Revelation means. Do you really think those who claim to know are wise? Of course, you might say that the wisest course, then, is probably to remain silent. But I think it's right to spread the good news about the One and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know, but I have some ideas that are different. And if you'll recall what I said in the introductory episode, my goal in doing this show has only ever been to make my Christian brothers and sisters, particularly the dogmatic ones, think differently with a message of universal love. Now in the last episode, I made it clear that I think many Christians focus too much on mortality and end times. Growing up in an Adventist household, if anything, I've experienced more than my fair share of that morbid proclivity that seems epidemic amongst our conservative brethren. In my new positive spiritual philosophy, I come to very similar conclusions about both topics. Now to the most basic question, will the world end? In truth, my best answer is I don't know. Certainly, if not before, once our sun goes supernova billions of years from now, it will, but perhaps by then we will have colonized the furthest reaches of space and gone on. I wonder, though, the book of Revelation is held up as this all-encompassing, apocalyptic prophecy of the literal end of all. But is it really? I am far from an expert, but when you do just a little research on the ancient Christians from the first couple centuries, you begin to see quite a different picture than the one Catholics and oddly Protestants generally espouse. They would have you believe that when Christ said in Matthew 16:18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," that was the end of it, and one massive, all-powerful, but mind you, supremely holy, Christian church came into being. In reality, there were many factions within the Church Universal. There were Judaizers, which are much like modern-day Messianic Jews. There were Thomasine Christians, who I would contend were proto-Gnostics, having a strong mystical bent. Soon after, there were my father Gnostics, who were influenced by Plato. There were many apocalyptic groups, some of which could be categorized as Johnian. Then there were the proto-Orthodox, who would later take over and create concepts like dogma and heresy to curtail this wonderful diversity. Now, this short list is probably far from comprehensive, but it gives you a fair idea of the happy diversity of opinion within Christendom at the time. In relation to the Book of Revelation, it might be illuminating to think about what conditions were like for these early Christians. They were, in a word, miserable. Christians were severely persecuted by the Romans, crucified, boiled in oil, sent to the lion's den, etc. Knowing that, doesn't it stand to reason that groups would begin to form which interpret Jesus Christ's message as apocalyptic, and further wrote what they believed to be divinely inspired works of apocalypse in the noble tradition of the Book of Enoch and other mystical end times Jewish literature? Remember that there was no official canon until the Council of Trent in 1545. Divinely inspired books were everywhere. And all this is to say nothing of the fact that it's quite easy to get Nero out of the name of the beast, which is the number 666. Still, it's not my goal here to persuade you to believe that the Book of Revelation is hogwash. I'm not Martin Luther. I only want you to realize that it might not be about the literal end of the world, as we have all been led to believe. It could be, but it could be about anything. Maybe even the Zodiac. The Zodiac, you say? My God, William, have you finally lost your mind? No, dear listener, I lost that years ago. What I'm alluding to here is my own pet theory. You see, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars... Yes, as the fifth dimension reminded us so well back in 1969, this is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Wait, does that mean you're a New Ager? Well, in a way, but I'm not obsessed with crystals, so maybe not. Anyway, how does this relate to Revelation? Well, since our conservative brethren are constantly looking for signs of the time, I say the so-called end began with the Age of Enlightenment starting around 1700. Why, you might ask, would I think that greater knowledge of the material world brought about the end? And how could this possibly be related to Revelation and the Zodiac? You'll find out after this short music break. The Enlightenment revealed great knowledge about the physical world. Unfortunately, it also brought about materialism and spiritual death. The Gnostics taught that, on this illusionary plane, there are three fundamental kinds of people. The hylic, material, the psychic, psychological, and the phenomatic, spiritual. With the Enlightenment came an emphasis on the hylic, to a lesser extent the psychic, and a total denial of the phenomatic. Consider this. Why do people wait days in line braving the cold rain or snow for the latest iPad, or sometimes get trampled to death in pursuit of whatever trinket on Black Friday? I believe it's because materialism is the new religion. In the tarot, materialism is represented by the 15th card of the major arcana, the devil. The devil card has a pinnacle pointing down. The pinnacle pointing down, according to the famous white magician Eliphas Levi, means matter over spirit. You see, materialism is the philosophy of the left-hand path, of the devil himself. Not to get too political here, but think about the modern-day Church of Satan. Anton LaVey, the founder of the church, has stated, quote, "My religion is just Ayn Rand's philosophy with ceremony and ritual added." Now look at all the economically conservative politicians who wrap themselves in a flag and carry a cross as they espouse the objectivist philosophy of Ayn Rand. A philosophy which emphasizes materialism and glorifies selfishness, lifting it to the status of virtue. Based on these recent developments, I think it can be rightly surmised that this is an age of Antichrist. Just as the Jews have decided that a Messiah must come in an age rather than in a person, so I believe that along with the incarnation of the Ion Christos, the Salvaic aspect of the One, came a divinely appointed age of faith in this Maya illusion called Pisces. This age is coming to an end, and with it, I believe we have temporarily transitioned to an age of Antichrist. Look at the mark of the beast. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Revelation 13:16-17. People have theorized endlessly about what that mark might be. Everything from tattoos to RFID chips have been suggested. But what if the mark is materialism itself? The mark in the forehead would then be an absolute belief in materialism, a total consumerist brainwashing, and the mark on the hand would be the ultimate symbol of that belief, cash. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 16:13? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is not just money, as many newer translations have it, but rather the spirit of money, materialism. A very interesting aspect of my little theory here is how universal it is. While conservative Christians generally want us to be afraid of other religions, and especially the occult, what if rather than fear and hate, we find love and acceptance, realizing we are on the same side? After all, the Buddha's second noble truth is that the desire for things leads to suffering, and Hinduism teaches much the same. The supposedly evil occultist Madame Blavatsky wrote The Secret Doctrine, her magnum opus, and to this day considered one of the finest occult books ever written to combat the rampant materialism of her time. Could it be that the Book of Revelation, and in fact the whole of authentic Christianity, is about casting off this illusionary material plane and uniting with God? Could it be that rather than fearing an end, we should work towards a new beginning? I think so, and if I'm right about all this, the wonderful truth is, this dying of the old age of faith that comes with evil returning will soon give way to the age of Aquarius, the age of magic, an age when people will turn away from ignorance, turn away from materialism. Of course, this is just one more theory, and I'm not proud enough to believe that I'm absolutely right. There is one thing I do know, though. Many Christians look everywhere, all their lives, for the second coming of Christ, except where it would be most meaningful. Inside themselves. We can change, though. You and I can every day try to better ourselves and raise our consciousness till one day we become the Christ. Whether there is a literal apocalypse or not, I know that attaining Christ consciousness is all that really matters. Now to show notes. First, I want to thank you all for listening this week, and I want to apologize for the volume issue in the last episode. I sincerely hope I have corrected it. As for the topic of the next episode of Internosis, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about time, specifically the ultimate unreality of time, but I may change my mind. Anyway, I'm happy to announce that Internosis is now available in the podcast section of the iTunes Store. If you'd like to help me out, probably the best way you can is to go there, subscribe, rate, and review this show. Another great way to support the show is to follow it on internosis.com. I have an amazing 23 followers now, and I thank you all for sticking with me. Whether you follow me or not, though, I'd still love to hear from you. Each episode of Internosis has a comments section, so visit internosis.com and leave a message. I'd love to take questions, though I can't guarantee mind-blowing answers. I am but a fool on a journey. I promise to try, though. Also, don't forget that you, yes you, can be on the show. Just head on over to internosis.com. There you'll find a Send Voicemail tab on the right-hand side of your screen. All you have to do is click that and use your built-in mic or headset to leave a message. Again, questions would be fine. Comments, suggestions, prayer requests, even requests for mental healing would be much appreciated. I'd love to use the collective power of my consciousness and that of my listeners to send out healing vibrations to someone in need, so if you know anyone, get on it. Now, brethren, I sincerely hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and I'll try to produce another one a little sooner this time, but no promises. Honestly, I've been having some trials and tribulations that have interrupted my work here, but that's okay. Life is a journey. When you fall down, you gotta get back up and move onward towards Zion. Now, have a wonderful day, and remember this, if nothing else. Whether or not the end of your life or the world is coming, seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are, because we are them. Goodbye.